All right, welcome back in to another edition of the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. Dan Claskins and James Adams, we're here with you. It's episode 45, and today on the podcast, we're diving into our deep sleepers. We've got sleepers for each of us from all 32 teams in the league. We're going to get to those in just a minute. We want you to go over and get to insiderfootball.com right now. That's our website, so we can go get all the tools to win this year, including our Fantastics Draft Advisor, a free trial available for it over there. We got a great deal going on with Thrive Fantasy again as well. If you're a first-time user there and make a first-time deposit of $20 or more, you can get the touchdown package. That's the Draft Advisor, all the tools to win all season long for free. With that first $20 deposit, you can get that on the sign-up page over there as well at insiderfootball.com. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We love having you. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen, and our loyal listeners, we appreciate you back as well. And James, a couple weeks from the season, we're knee deep in drafts. What a better time to go digging for some deep sleepers.
Well, of course, now that we've had pretty much all of our drafts that are against each other, it's time to share those final bits of knowledge that we've been hiding from each other.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's anything on this list today that I haven't at least mentioned one somewhere else with you. Maybe if it wasn't even a podcast or on air, maybe it was on a car ride to Canton. Who knows?
Right? But
let's dive into it. We've got a lot of names. We're going to go through team by team, conference by conference, division by division, give you a deep sleeper. And we're defining a deep sleeper today one simple way. These are all players who have a blended ADP of 12th round or higher inside of our award-winning Fantastics Draft Advisor tool. And we use 8 different sources of ADP, I believe, that pipe into the updates here, and we're blending all that together. So there will be some guys on this list that are a little bit deeper than others. There's going to be some reaches we're going to make on some teams. There's going to be some guys we really love, and some we're just sort of, we like a little bit. Maybe there's a chance. We'll define that for you as we go. And James, let's start in the AFC East. And we're going to start with Buffalo, and we're going to start with my sleeper, Isaiah McKenzie. This guy right here has made a splash for himself this preseason, definitely emerging here as the wide receiver 3 potentially on this depth chart. We know that Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis are the big 2, but is there room for a third? I don't know. Based off the ADP we're seeing on McKenzie, I think there's a lot of value to be had, especially if you get to this part of the draft, and a guy that, frankly, in the spots earlier this summer where I was taking Jamison Crowder as that late piece of this offense, it's now Isaiah McKenzie.
You know, it's funny because I'm going to go pretty deep in this offense. And the reason I'm going to do so, I'm not going to go this deep with every team. About a month or so ago, somebody posed a question on Twitter. If every quarterback in the league was hurt and the teams had to play with their backup quarterback, who would be the favorite? And I think it would stay the Buffalo Bills. And so this is for super flex only, but I'm going to go ahead and say Case Keenum. Why? Well, this guy's won a playoff game before. I mean, this guy is a borderline starter in the NFL. And for super flex only, I'm not handcuffing very many quarterbacks. In fact, I'm only handcuffing one, but the one I am cuffing is Josh Allen, and it's because I firmly believe that if Case Keenum were to get that job for any solid amount of time, he is a starter in every Superflex league, 10-team as well. I think he'd be a top 18 quarterback with that offense, and given the skill set he's displayed in past years. Oh, by the way, who did he throw? Who was the quarterback that threw the Minnesota Miracle to Stephon Diggs? It was his now teammate, the backup quarterback, Case Keenum.
We're moving on to the next team in the division, the Miami Dolphins. And my deep sleeper here is Tua Tagovailoa, a blended ADP of 1503 in the Draft Advisor. We think he's more of a 14th round pick. And after James and I talked to Alan Pupar on today's Fantastics Insider Football Show on SiriusXM Fantasy, I'm in line with where he was on his thoughts. And that is that, yeah, I mean, he's never going to live up to the hype that we came out of college. We got to sort of get past that. But there could be enough touchdowns and yardages with the weapons in this offense to make him a top half quarterback. Last year, the quality starts, you know, how many times he finished in that rank inside the software. Pretty disappointing when you look at it on the season. 13 games, just 4 quality starts. Improvement comes. That's why I, like the Fantastics Draft Advisor, view him as an upper half QB2 in any format, and a guy that should finish somewhere between, right in the middle of the tweens in those quarterback fantasy points this season. James, your sleeper.
Coming around on Tua a little bit with you, but I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert. And the reason that I think he's the target for me when it comes to a Miami running back, which, by the way, I'm not particularly targeting that position as a whole, but the reason that Raheem Mostert jumps out to me is because I think if it's the fourth quarter and he's your lineup and you haven't gotten much from him, he still has a chance to make a game-winning play. I'm not sure Chase Edmonds has as good of a chance. And again, you talk about talking to Alan Pupart today. He indicated that maybe Michelle is on the roster bubble. So I think Raheem Mostert, whose value, whose ADP is lower than Chase Edmonds, he offers that big play ability. He's one of the fastest guys in the NFL, so he can always strike for you.
To the New England Patriots we go, and we know they want to run the football, James, but the value, I think, and when we talk about deep sleepers, are going to be in this passing game. Really, just about anybody in it could fit the bill, but my top choice is going to be DeVante Parker. I know it's been mostly misses and not hits for Parker, but a fresh start might be just what the doctor ordered here. And on a depth chart that previously was led by Jacoby Myers, who I think we're only a couple touchdowns be shy on our career than what he's been able to do, I think there's a big opportunity here for Parker. He's the first and probably only Patriot that I'll even think about adding, even these late rounds of my drafts, James.
You know where I'm going already. He qualifies. It's Hunter Henry at tight end. Quite frankly, he's the tight end one on several of my teams, and I'm completely happy with it. Guy scored 9 touchdowns a year ago. And you want to talk about consistency. How about this for one Hunter Henry? He's had 3 consecutive yards where he caught over 600 yards, or 3 consecutive seasons where he's caught over 600 yards. Last year, Mac Jones was his quarterback. The year before, Justin Herbert was his quarterback in his rookie year in 2020. And the year before was Phil Rivers. So he's had 3 consecutive quarterbacks. And in all 3 years, he surpassed 600 yards. He was heavily targeted inside the 10 with New England last year. Hunter Henry's going to score touchdowns. If you wait on tight end, he's still a starter.
Wrapping up the AFC East, we'll go to the Jets. And my sleeper deep value pick here is going to be Michael Carter. And maybe after some of the buzz this week from beat writers that he is the number one back, he won't stay in this range long. But our blended ADP at the time of the podcast still is late round 12, which would qualify. I think he's a steal once you get to double digit rounds. Here's a guy that is going to have a role. I know he's a little undersized, and that's why they took Breece Hall to begin with. And sure, I'd probably still draft Breece Hall ahead of him, as you should. But dude, Carter could be RB3 weekly potential if this offense remotely lives up to its potential. And you're getting him, James, in far enough into the drafts, at least in the blended ADP here, to be in this conversation. He might be the best running back we'll talk about on the episode today. Your Jet sleeper.
He's the beneficiary of rookie hype. I'm with you on Carter. He's on several of my teams. I'm going deep here. Tyler Conklin, I've watched his ADP rise on Underdog. He was a middle of the road, almost back end, tight end 3. He is elevating. He's been a good pass catcher, regardless of quarterback in that team, whether it's practice or the first preseason game. Tyler Conklin may not be a tight end 1 at the end of the year, but keep in mind, he had a very good year last year. They paid to bring him in. He's a better pass catcher than CJ Uzama. That's his role in that offense. Tyler Conklin's going to have 500 plus receiving yards. He may not be a tight end 1. He's going to be a guy you can start from week to week. And I'm telling you, he has the upside to be inside the top 10 at tight end or close to it by the end of the season.
Let's move over to the AFC West, and we'll start with the Denver Broncos. And I'm going to tight end here with Albert O. And still just 24. We knew that there was some hype here, and we love that 83% reception rate from a year ago. I think he has some natural ability. He's been showing it at parts of his career. And yeah, they drafted a tight end, but rookie tight ends aren't going to be as impactful quickly. I'm going to go with Albert O, James. I think he's a high-end tight end too, and a guy that's right now blended ADP of round 16. We've got him more as a 13th round value.
When we get to Seattle, I'm going to talk about how they threw the ball to the tight end a lot in the red zone. We'll see if that's them or Russ, but I'm with you. I think there's something to that. I'll go to KJ Hamler. I mean, he's being mostly disregarded in drafts. And the only reason he pops up to me is because of the Tim Patrick injury, which was very unfortunate because he would have been my answer here for sure. I'm not sure how much they want to throw the ball, but if you're going deep and a player that you can pick up and absolutely drop after week 1 or 2, if it doesn't materialize, is KJ Hamler. He's outside the top 20 rounds of ADP right now, pretty much free, and should have a role in this offense.
Let's go on to Kansas City, and I'll keep the receiver conversation going. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, we might have said Isaiah Pacheco if we had did this podcast a couple weeks ago, but he's not lasting around 12 these days. And for me, I think a lot of hype has been made, and rightfully so. Sky Moore is intriguing. We know what Juju Smith-Schuster is, which, according to the draft advisor, is a bit overrated. Now, this scaling is the value in this passing game. The deep threat, maybe he was misused by the Packers. You're not paying anything for him in drafts right now. And with Mahomes throwing him the football and his big play potential, I think it's worth a dart throw.
Jerick McKinnon. Oh, it was so many years ago. We all talked about, oh, he went to Jerick because he was this popular fantasy player. He disappeared. He was out of the fantasy player universe for years. And then we had the playoffs last year. And Dan, again, I go back to the fact that I was just looking for opportunity. He was the 4th Kansas City Chiefs running back on my postseason roster. But in the end, he materialized to be a very good player. He was good running the ball. He was good receiving the ball. They're searching for options. He is a consistent that a lot of people forget from last year because his consistency came through the playoffs. If he was good enough to carry that team to the AFC title game, why isn't he good enough to roster as one of your last running backs on draft day? I don't have an answer for that. That's why I keep drafting him.
We're moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers, who I think are one of my picks to win the Super Bowl this year. And a big part of it's because Justin Herbert is the man. This offense is as powerful as any in football. The defense got better. And right now it doesn't appear that being the third receiver on the depth chart has much value, but Josh Palmer, that is, the second year wideout, has flashed all preseason. I liked him before it even started. And now I think in the event of Williams or Allen's go down, this guy could be a legit weekly starter. Even not, he's nice bench depth, and I'm going to grab him. And I already have as a lot of cases in these latter rounds to fill out my bench, James.
I assume Gerald Everett is the starting tight end. Isaiah Spiller doesn't quite qualify, so I couldn't turn to him. I'd probably take your pick over mine, but the idea being that there is going to be a tight end with some value. Donald Parham looked pretty good last year, too. So maybe it's just figuring out which one of those two emerges as a tight end in one of these in this very high-end, high-scoring offense. I'll start with Everett right now because his track record's a little bit better.
Yep, we're going to finish up the AFC West with the look at Las Vegas. And James, I think everybody and their brothers starting to get on the Zamir White train. I might be a little bit late to the party here, but I'm all in. I mean, they haven't re-signed Josh Jacobs beyond this year. They didn't pick up that fifth-year option. Now they cut Kenyon Drake. This regime, they drafted this guy. Mm-hmm. So I think the future is now and sooner than later for White, and probably wouldn't have him as 12th rounder higher in drafts that are happening between now and the start of the season. But as we come here today, he does qualify, and rightfully so.
I'm going a little bit deeper on the board. I agree with what you've said. If you're in a tight end premium league and you got Darren Waller, you need to have your eyes on Foster Moreau. It's come out that Darren Waller, not quite fully healthy, might not be available for week one. Foster Moreau had three quality starts last year when Waller was out. So do I love Moreau? No. But if I'm in a tight end premium league and I took a heavy and I invest early in Darren Waller, you'd be best served to have Foster Moreau on your team because he clearly can be a part of the offense when need be.
No doubt about it. Let's move on to the AFC North. We're starting with the Ravens and talking about tight end premium, same type of concept. We know Mark Andrews, he's one of my favorite tight ends. Our Fantastics draft advisor has him ranked accordingly. But Isaiah Likely has been getting some buzz here in the preseason. We know the Ravens like to use the position in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of things to like about him in this offense, James. So whether it's an Andrews handcuff or an extremely deep league where you want to have a nice upside young tight end, especially in Dynasty and other formats as well, likely fits the bill.
I like what you did there quite a bit. I'm going to go with Devin Duvernay, and this comes down to a player who's still just been in the system for a few years there with Lamar Jackson. Has he been great yet? No, but there's a huge vacuum for wide receiver production, and I think that it comes from Bateman first, but Duvernay is being more or less free as well at the end of drafts, and he was drafted by this team, so he's still a part of this foundation. Maybe this is the year it materializes. Maybe he is one of those receivers that doesn't hit the ground running, but rather takes a few years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's stick to some tight ends on my side of it in the AFC North, and I know you like this guy as well, but tell you what, since I went down to training camp and watched him and saw it firsthand, Hayden Hurst looks like a natural fit in this Bengal offense. Coach Taylor's been talking about it, talking him up all month long too here about how he's going to be involved, and he's going to be involved especially in that red zone. That's what you like to hear with the tight end conversation with the quarterback like Joe Burrow. This guy's being drafted outside top 20 of the position, James, and it's way too far down.
I thought Andy Dalton was the ginger I was waiting for in Cincinnati all my life, but apparently it was Hayden Hurst. He really is my pick, too. But I'm going to throw Chris Evans out there because I think there is a spot for him. He's being largely undrafted. And oh, by the way, he's not the handcuff to Joe Mixon. That's Samaje Perine. That's something to keep in mind when you're talking about certain running backs, that if the RB1 goes down, I don't think Chris Evans' role expands, which is kind of what makes him a sleeper, because I think if they can find a role for him, maybe it's only in special teams returning some balls, but maybe if he can get the pass blocking down a little bit, he can be a third down back that can create a little bit of a spell for Joe Mixon, and by not being the handcuff, but rather being a complimentary piece, kind of like Nyheim Hines is to Jonathan Taylor, kind of.
Let's continue on in the division and go up to Cleveland, take a look at the Brownies. And David Njoku is the guy I put down here, James. Honestly, I mean, outside of Hunt and Chubb, I don't really think there's any player on this team in redraft that I'm that interested in. But based off where they're being drafted and where I think there's value, he is the tight end to own here. And Amari Cooper, I'm not opposed to taking him if he falls deep enough. But again, he wouldn't qualify. And any of the other receivers in redraft, just saying no thanks. So Njoku, the only real choice here for me.
I'm interested to see what they do to Njoku. They paid him. I considered Harrison Bryant as my guy here. I guess I'm going to go with David Bell, the rookie. And my thought process here is, if it isn't Cooper, which I think it probably will be, who else would it be? Again, no Beckham, granted, left midseason last year. No Landry. Who's left? Who's left from the old regime? Maybe, you know, I don't know. So I'm going to go with the rookie that they went ahead and put a third round pick on.
All right. I can get behind that for sure. Speaking of rookies and receivers, the Pittsburgh Steelers deep sleeper on my list is George Pickens. I really actually like him better this season than I like Chase Claypool. I realize that there's a lot of question marks about this Pittsburgh passing game. Who's throwing the ball? How much time will they have to throw it? There's receiving depth, though, and Pickens is a guy that has playmaking ability. I liked him before the draft. Didn't really like when he went to the Steelers, you know, because I don't like the Steelers. But I do like George Pickens as a deep value sleeper pick in 2022.
I don't really have one for the Steelers, and that's why I like Deontay Johnson, and that's why I like Najee Harris, because their roles are absolutely defined. I went with Mitch Trubisky because I don't think you can take Kenny Pickett as your quarterback. I'm really talking super flex at this point because I don't think it's his job in week one. It sounds like it's going to be Trubisky. Trubisky has a high pedigree. He was, what, third pick overall? We saw him have some success early on in Chicago before that team just devolved around him. Not just the team, the organization as well. Am I in love with Mitch Trubisky? No. But if you need a super flex quarterback to start in week one who has a chance to put up some floor numbers with his legs, has a chance to lean on dump offs to Najee Harris that turn into big plays, I think Mitch Trubisky is sitting there as a desperation play for a QB2 in super flex.
We'll wrap up the AFC with a look at the South, starting with Houston. And Nico Collins, the guy that's catching my eye. I don't think he's going to be the top receiver in Houston, but Brandon Cook still holds that for now, but I do like the future, and the future is going to be sooner rather than you think. Now, I do expect the Texans to want to pound the rock, but their defense is going to force them to have to pass probably more than Lovie Smith wants to. And when they do, with Cook's garnering the attention, Nico Collins could be nice. I really like him in best ball, especially, James, because I think there's going to be some big weeks ahead.
Man, I traded him away in one of my best ball leagues this summer. I got a good return, but I'm going to miss him because I'm with you. I'm going with this quarterback. One thing I said about Mitch Trubisky is he has a little bit of upside, but not job security. You know what Davis Mills has? Job security. When I wait on QB2 and Superflex and I get a chance to take a player who's going to start every game, I mean, that's Davis Mills' job. There is no one else who's going to take that job from him. We saw him really come alive in the second half. This is a guy who had a good pedigree coming out of high school going into college. Maybe he's a late bloomer. I'm not saying Justin Herbert, but Justin Herbert kind of was unfulfilling of his great pedigree to a lesser extent at Oregon. I don't think Davis Mills is Justin Herbert, but you're not paying that draft price. And again, I'm happy with him as my QB2 starting in my super flex position.
The Indianapolis Colts has a couple wideouts we like too. I'll start with the rookie, Alec Pierce. And coming out of the University of Cincinnati, this was a player that when he landed in Indianapolis, not only did I say, all right, they got a good player, but this is a good opportunity. He quickly could ascend up this depth chart. I mean, we know Michael Pittman's number one, but after that, it's pretty much up for grabs. I think talent will prevail sooner rather than later, and that's going to benefit Alex Pierce. At Fantastics, our official projection inside the draft advisor, 57 catches, 790 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He's got a blended ADP of the 19th round, which means he's being undrafted in some places. We think he's definitely warranted a pick as soon as you get to those latter rounds, and that's why we're putting him inside our top 55 at the position in the PPR rankings. Alec Pierce, I should say, a player to watch.
I would draft him in a PPR league second of the Colts receivers. Heck, I'd draft him second in all formats as a Colts receiver, but I also do like Paris Campbell, and Pierce and Campbell are different receivers, so I don't think that one is successful and the other one isn't because of each other. Paris Campbell's got to stay healthy. It's the only thing that's kept him basically undrafted in most leagues right now. Let's keep in mind, only 25 years old, so he certainly hasn't outgrown his youth yet. And there was some rapport between him and Matt Ryan. I think it's a stab at the dark last pick of the draft, but he has a talent to be a very useful fantasy receiver. Just will he ever have the health? I don't know.
Good question. Good questions indeed. Let's move on to Jacksonville. And James, I'll tell you a running back that I think is being grossly undervalued right now. It's James Robinson.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, last year at this time, everybody was on it all day and he's soaring. I get he's coming off a major injury, but it's baked into his ADP, which has him outside the top 40 at the position, by the way. So I don't know. I'm not trying to be a buzzkill for ETN, because I do think ETN is going to bring a lot of value too. But James Robinson, blended ADP right now in round 14, that's just way too far. I'll take my chances on him, especially if he's my RB4.
Yeah, amen to that. I'm going to go with Zay Jones here. I just don't love Christian Kirk. I think that Trevor Lawrence is destined to take a big step up. I think he's going to spread the ball around a lot. So I don't think there's a guy that's going to emerge as a, oh my goodness, you've got to get this Jacksonville receiver in your lineup all day, every day. But Zay Jones possesses speed. He did have 500 yards receiving last year. This team went out and paid him. I think the Jags are still going to struggle and play from behind. So I think there's plenty of upside with Zay Jones and absolutely zero opportunity cost.
Wrapping up the final team, the AFC, the Tennessee Titans. One of my favorite tight end sleepers of the season is Austin Hooper. Here's a guy that of all these tight ends we're talking in the AFC, he ranks the highest of my list in terms of these deep value sleepers. I think Hooper is in a great spot here coming over to Tennessee where, let's face it, Treylon Burks isn't ready just yet. Robert Woods is 30 coming off an ACL injury. I mean, there is a real opportunity. I get it's a run-fest offense, but there's a real chance Austin Hooper is second in the team in targets these early weeks, James. I think Tannehill's going to like him, and I really think that he's going to outperform his current ADP, which in some cases, again, is undrafted. I think he's got top 15 tight end potential, and I don't even think it's out of the realm of possibility to think that he could end up a back-end tight end one if everything hits.
And he has been before. I'm a Hooper guy, too. Westbrook Akine, Robert Woods, they've been named as starters. So is Kyle Phillips, not Treylon Burks. I'm not sure what we're going to get out of Kyle Phillips. He's a rookie too. Maybe this is all coach stuff from Vrabel and it comes to nothing. But Westbrook Akine has basically showed me that he's a player I'm not ever going to put in my fantasy starting lineup. Maybe Phillips is. Maybe he isn't. If you drop him and pick somebody else up, no big deal. We understand this offense is Derrick Henry first, second, and maybe third. So you're grabbing at straws here. But Phillips has been largely undrafted. I've seen him draft a few places. He's right now listed as a starter, which would make him a play.
You're listening to the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast with Dan Claskins and James Adams. It's our 2022 Deep Sleepers for Fantasy Football. We've broken down one for each team in the AFC. Now we're going to move over to the NFC, and we're going to start in the East and start with the Cowboys. And James, in the NFC, I'm going to let you go first with your player.
All right, well, we'll go Cowboys, and I guess I'm just going to go Jalen Tolbert, and we're going back to the fact that there's a vacuum. The Cowboys line's taking a beating now, and they can only give the ball to those running backs so much. Right now, I look at this offense, I see two running backs, a tight end, and a receiver that I can rely on. There's usually a second receiver that emerges. I'll take my stab at Jalen Tolbert, but you got a good name too, Dan.
Yes, Michael Gallup, same reasons you said. I like the encouraging news that they're optimistic he's not going to have to be on the PUP list and miss those first four games. And
shocking.
Let's face this about Gallup. As much as there's over his career, there's been these glimpses of hope that have often been left unfulfilled, the opportunity still remains. And I do think Tolbert's of interest, but he hasn't come along as fast as some think he has in the preseason, James. And that's concerning. So he hasn't even hardly played, in fact, with Dak Prescott very much at all. So Jalen Tolbert, I think you know, he has a long-term upside for sure, but like, Gallup's the one I'd rather draft right now in redrafts, even if it's not going to be for a couple weeks. Luckily, buys and stuff like that, they don't start till later in the year, so if you get him as your wide receiver 4 or 5, you're going to be just fine while he works his way back. From the Cowboys to the Giants we head, and we got more wideouts to talk about.
Sterling Shepard might be healthy. Sterling Shepard is a player that has been very productive in PPR leagues. He's never going to blow up for your team, but he can provide catches and yards. And look, it was a bad year for Sterling Shepard. And when I look at our Fantastic software, the first thing that stands out to me is games played. 7, 12, and 10. He consistently misses time. But we're dealing with a ton of unknown in this receiving core. Kenny Golladay has trouble committing to the game and staying healthy. Kadarius Toney has trouble staying healthy. Well, I know Sterling Shepard does too, but he's the one going at the latest cost. So I'll go ahead and take my chances on him.
I'll take my chances on Kenny Golladay at where he's going. I mean,
yeah,
he's basically a dollar in our Dream League auction. I don't know. I'm with you. I think that maybe he just doesn't care. He certainly looks like a guy out there to put his paycheck out. But once you get to late round 12, early round 13, I mean, in a vacuum, this guy's still the wide receiver one on the depth chart, at least according to the salary, right? So all my optimism I had for the Giants a few weeks ago before all this preseason, it's starting to dwindle a little bit, I'll admit. But mm-hmm. Golladay, he's worth a dart throw late. He could end up being one of my first cuts, though, too. From the Giants to the Eagles, let's talk running backs, James. We both picked a different one here.
Yeah, and boy, is it hard to get a running back from this team in your lineup, given what Jalen Hurts can do with his legs. And, you know, we'll see how this team progresses with the play calling. I'm going with Boston Scott. Why am I going with him? He had 7 touchdowns last year. He proved he could get the job done down there. He was mostly a running back last year, whereas the last two years before that, he was more involved in the pass game. We're projecting him for 5 touchdowns. I don't know. Maybe this is more of a standard league, touchdown-only league play. Struggling to find somebody I would really want to take as a deep sleeper for these Eagles.
I love Kenny Gainwell, and it's not a struggle for me. I think he is the guy to have, and I think in the little glimpses I've watched in this preseason, I've only been more convinced. This Eagles seems like they're on the football, and Miles Sanders is a guy that, yeah, you think he's got the job, but I think Gainwell's a little bit better. Boston Scott's going to be a factor. He's worth a value too, but dude, I think by the time the season ends, you're going to see Kenny Gainwell be RB3 numbers or better, especially in leagues where you know there's a little extra juice for big plays because he's capable of making them. Let's go to the Commanders and wrapping up the East. And James, there's a rookie there that's catching your eyes and hopefully a lot of footballs too.
Yeah, hopefully a lot of footballs. Jahan Dotson, they put a first-round selection on him. Outside of Terry McLaurin, who else is there? I'm done with Curtis Samuel, but again, that could be my recency bias and hoping he was worth anything last year. Jahan Dotson reminds me a little bit of DeSean Jackson in that he's not a kind of a player you're going to count on to be a consistent 10 catches. Well, 10 catches, that's getting crazy. Even 6 or 5 catches. But much like some of the other players I've talked about, Mostert in particular, from a different position, he has a chance to maybe win you the game on any one given play. So I still think he's the wide receiver two on that team. And with no Logan Thomas or no really healthy Logan Thomas right now, he might be the number two target guy if Gibson doesn't become a target monster or somebody else in this backfield.
A soaring name who the blended ADP still qualifies, but he might probably not make it to double digit rounds is Brian Robinson. And the Commanders' backfield is certainly one of concern. I mean, we're seeing Gibson just fade and fall down. And, dude, he's fallen down far enough where he's still worth grabbing at that price.
I agree.
But Brian Robinson is the one that is intriguing. And we know that he's got more of the prototypical size. And he is the guy we expect to get the ball at the goal lines. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to lead to touchdowns. Certainly the best back there. And currently in Fantastics, he's sneaking into the top 30 of our running backs. We think he's an 8th-round pick at this point. So probably won't be on the deep value sleepers for you, but a guy you should have on your mind as you're drafting your remaining teams. Let's go to the West, James. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals.
Darrell Williams had a 1,000-yard season last year. He had 1,010 yards combined, rushing and receiving. 8 touchdowns. He's the number two back there. He's being largely in Arizona. He's being largely forgotten. He's easily our RB5 on most of my draft boards. I don't think Arizona is going to like just say, okay, it's your job and not James Conner's. Conner's the one there. Conner's shown that he can miss some time. We've seen plenty of offenses that are able to use two running backs. Darrell Williams, again, I can't stress this enough, Dan. 558 yards rushing, 4 yards a carry, not great. 452 yards receiving. He had 8 total touchdowns, 5 quality starts. Darrell Williams, I know you're going to talk about another running back that is supposedly getting some hype. I can't get away from the production Williams has shown in the past.
Yeah. Well, I've also read Williams might be a roster cut. That's the problem. Benjamin's the one getting the touches and the hype because that's what the beat writers are seeing right now. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. James Conner, I mean, durability has hung around with this guy since his college days. I know he's battled some other things besides just injuries, but James Conner is still the guy to have. But if he goes down, it's probably a committee. Let's be honest. It's neither of these guys. I think Eno Benjamin has a shot to have a role in this offense more in the light of what Edmonds was. And that's why I think he's a little more valuable. But I hear you. Williams could have some goal line work should he make the team and still be a contributor in some fashion. Based off of what they have risked, though, he's basically making low ball money for a veteran and easily disposable. Let's go to the Rams, because there are some deep value sleepers there that we do like.
Tasty Tyler Higbee. 500 yards in each of the last 2 years and 700 yards the year before. Is he a big, you know, Travis Kelce over the moon type play? Absolutely not. But he's also had 13 quality starts in those last 3 years. Would you like more? Sure you would. But we're also talking about a tight end that's being largely forgotten. He catches the ball all the time. He had 60, 44, 67 yard receptions in each of the last 3 years. We're projecting him to get to 600 yards again. Again, we love what Cooper Kupp does in the red zone. But with the question marks at running back, maybe Tyler Higbee can up that touchdown total of 5 that he had the last 2 years. Tyler Higbee, I mean, his floor seems secure. And I think there is upside in this offense. A team that's, oh, I don't know, pretty good, won the Super Bowl last year.
Why'd you have to remind me of that?
Because I'm trying not to always just say Houdet ever after every sentence. Okay. It's hard.
Fair enough. Darrell Henderson's a guy that you have to look at. I mean, the blended ADP around 14, once you get to double-digit rounds, it's time to really think about it. I mean, Cam Akers and him both dealing with some soft tissue injuries. We know Henderson doesn't have the makeup to take carry this load there, James, but he's got a chance to be an RB2 in about several games if Akers were to miss. And he did it last year, right? I mean, just look at the quality starts alone. I mean, yes, he only had one in the second half in 4 games, but 7 out of 12 in the 12 games there. So when given the opportunity, he certainly shined. It was more about him being able to have the durability to do it over the course of the season. I do like Akers better, but Henderson is not without value. Seattle. That's the team I really struggled with, James. So I won't be very excited to talk about these next guys. But nonetheless, we promised one for each of the 32 teams.
It's raining in Seattle. So for my sleeper, I'm just going to sleep in on this rainy day and not even get up and be a part of this. Okay, I guess I have to. Noah Fant. I mean, Noah Fant had over 600 yards receiving each of the last 2 years. I realize it's not the same quarterback right now. Drew Lock not getting the nod to be the starter. I think at some time we'll see them both. But moreover, when we talked about Gerald Everett earlier, Seattle likes to throw the ball to the tight end in the red zone, whether it was Jimmy Graham or Greg Olsen before them, even the Will Disley stint we saw before he got hurt. Now, is that a Russ Wilson thing? Is that a Seattle thing? We'll see. But I'm not in love with anything going on in that offense. I don't know how often they'll get to the red zone, but if they do, they're probably not going to gain a lot of yards, given how bad this team is. Noah Fant is a sleeper, if you will, because he's being largely disregarded like the Seattle team. Maybe rightfully so, but I think Noah Fant in a 20-team league does deserve to be drafted.
I was thinking maybe Jason Myers could have been the sleeper here because they're going to struggle to move the ball, so maybe he could have a lot of long field goals. But I'm left
but with not in Seattle with that weather.
I know. I couldn't put a kicker on the list, so I settled for the next best thing. I took Geno Smith, and I get it. He stinks. Drew Lock stinks. I've been telling you Drew Lock stinks for 5 years, but
he does.
The reality is they both stink, but the difference is Geno Smith is the week one starter. And in a super flex league, especially one where maybe you didn't get that third quarterback, now might be a chance to hit that waiver wire and pick up Smith just to have something in case an injury goes down. That's about all the value he'll have. Let's wrap it up, James, with some San Francisco, a lot more sunnier things for the 49ers to talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jeff Wilson. I mean, will Eli Mitchell stay healthy and be the number one back? We've seen the number one back be a different player for, what, about 5 consecutive years now in San Francisco. Carlos Hyde, the last guy to be the leading rusher 2 seasons in a row. Wilson was good before. He is now currently listed as the number two back on the roster. We'll see if it comes to fruition. Jeff Wilson Jr. has led this team in rushing before.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrion Davis Price, a third-round pick. They're done with last year's third-round pick, but he's a lock to make the team. And Wilson probably is too, but Elijah Mitchell's small and he can't stay healthy. That's why they have all these backs. Davis Price has the most long-term potential, and if Mitchell's hurt and Wilson's Davis Price, because his shot could come sooner. I think his ceiling is the highest, of the two, that's for sure. Let's get into the NFC North. We'll start with the Bears.
I mean, I figured I had to look for a receiving option, a team that I do think will still struggle to win games, which hopefully means they're throwing late. Cole Kmet is a player. I feel like I've targeted a ton of tight ends here, which, oh, by the way, is the reason I'm not drafting tight end early, if you guys haven't figured that out.
Hey, tight end draft strategies revealed.
Well, I mean, it's pretty, you can look at all my boards I've posted online. It's pretty clear cut. Cole Kmet just barely qualifies. He's 12.01 in ADP. So depending on where you're looking, he might not even qualify. 600 yards his second year. I still think tight ends do take a little longer than receivers do to acclimate fully to the NFL. He had four quality starts last year. Give me some touchdowns. Cole Kmet has a value. I mean, Dan, would you be surprised if he's targeted the second most in this offense this year?
Not at all. Not at all. He's a guy that I've been waiting on tight ends a lot too. And he's a guy that had no problem as a tight end one. So back end tight end one. But you know, I'm not going to reach for him, James. I'll say that. But I'll let him fall to me.
Amen.
Just like I will Khalil Herbert. Because as much as I like and root for David Montgomery, because he's a local kid here to us in Cincinnati area. But Khalil Herbert, man, without Tariq Cohen no longer in the picture and everything else, I mean, he is not only has a role, but his role has a big chance to extend itself, even if Montgomery doesn't change anything. Montgomery goes down, he could be a stud. The Bears, the offense is going to struggle, but I do like running backs with mobile quarterbacks, and more carries and times Herbert's on the field and Justin Fields under center, I think more chances for him to make big plays could be had. So Herbert, especially in best ball, a guy I like. Let's go to the Lions and talk about what we like in Detroit for deep value sleepers.
If I love anything more than football players that cry, I don't know what it is. I can get emotional. I liked Jamal Williams before I even saw him start crying in the Hard Knocks thing. I love Jamal Williams. I love the way he handled leaving Green Bay and going to Detroit. None of that makes him a good football player. He is a good football player, too. The guy ran for over 600 yards last year. He's had 157, 236, 253 yards receiving in each of the last couple of years. I don't think he's a player you would ever put near your lineup when Swift is healthy, but Swift has missed 4 and 3 games the last 2 years. Jamal Williams has a place on fantasy rosters, and I think that he's a wonderful RB5. I've got him on several teams.
Yeah. You have a hard time breaking up with Jamal Williams every year.
I love him, dude.
Some years it works, some years it doesn't. We'll see what happens this year. And then you can say the same about most of the guys on this list, that for that matter. But
yes,
DJ Shark, I keep talking about it. I mean, the guy's still so young and he had so much potential. He's coming off an injury that's a lot less than severe than other guys that were just saying, oh, well, his injuries have been a big deal. I think once he landed A in Detroit in free agency, and then B, they took Jameson Williams in the draft. Everybody just forgot about, hey, DJ Shark is nothing, but he's 25 years old. And back in 2019, he had 1,000 yards for an 8 touchdowns on an offense that didn't have half the weapons. So I think for where you're getting him at, which right now is well outside the top 50 in every draft I've been in, he's got such a huge ceiling. I think if things break right for him, he could be a wide receiver 3 this year in fantasy, and you're paying next to nothing. He's one of my favorite deep sleepers we'll talk about on the podcast today at his position, James. Let's go to the Packers.
If things break right, this former number one overall pick could be worth some fantasy goodness because there's no real established receiver on his team, and that's Sammy Watkins. Does he stay healthy? Hell no. Is he a first round talent who can have massive games? Yep. Does he have a great quarterback putting the ball in his hand? Yep. So Sammy Watkins has a lot negative. If he didn't, he'd be an early pick. I don't know if he's going to be at all valuable in this Green Bay offense, but what I do know is that Aaron Rodgers prefers to trust veterans. That's in his track record. Rodgers has a long track record to look at too. He trusts veterans. Sammy Watkins is that. And Aaron Rodgers can throw you open. Sammy Watkins, well, that bump foot, hopefully it's good enough to stay on the field, and Rodgers will throw him open. Look, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I still believe in Rodgers. Somebody's going to become a really useful receiver here in Green Bay.
Yeah, the guy I think it is Romeo Doubs. And I like Christian Watson too, but the rookie has been slowed by injuries, getting off to a late start. So Doubs is the one you want to get up there. Yeah, he's wide free, the fourth receiver on the depth chart now, but how long do you think Cobb and Watkins will actually stay in front of him? Alan Lazard's the Packer receiver you're wanting. The second guy on the list is Doubs. Of course, his ADP is soaring, so you're not going to get him as cheap as Watkins, so maybe that's a factor, but there's a reason that people are paying a higher price for the other younger wideout. let's wrap it up with the Vikings. And James, you're going pretty deep here too.
Yeah, I mean, Alexander Mattison may fit the bill here, but Ty Chandler coming in as a rookie, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, Dalvin Cook ideally is going to hold that job, and he's going to be the guy. But Ty Chandler coming in with was a fifth-round pick, and there's some conversation that he really is the RB2 on this team behind Alexander Mattison. I'll be interested to see how this plays out. Given Dalvin Cook's health history, I have a feeling we're going to see how it plays out. I'll be honest, I have yet to take this player in any of my drafts, though. Most of these other sleepers I've at least dabbled in. So I was looking for somebody here. I feel like this Vikings team is kind of like Pittsburgh in a way, where I know who I like, and I just don't really want anybody else. But if I've got a 20th round pick and I need a running back, I'll take a flyer there.
KJ Osborne's the one I'll take a flyer on. I think he could contribute. I like him a little more in best ball, but with the new coach, not the antiquated ways, maybe this passing game has room for more growth. I think he has the best chance to take advantage if it did. Let's wrap it up with the NFC South. We're going to go to the Falcons, and we'll start with you, James.
Okay, so I saw him make a nice catch on Monday Night Football where the announcers were gushing on everybody in that Falcons Jets game. Nobody made a bad play in that whole game per the announcing crew. Olamide Zaccheaus. Why do I like him? Well, because I don't really like Bryan Edwards, and Zaccheaus, I think, is going to be the wide receiver two on that team. Maybe Bird or Tate or Edwards is there. I'm going to go with Zaccheaus, and what I like about him is that he's not going to garner the coverage of London. He's not going to garner the coverage of Pitts, and that team's going to stink, and they're going to have to throw the football a lot. And Mariota's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but at least he is an established veteran, so if I'm digging way down deep, that's where I'm going, and that's Zaccheaus.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I like Tyler Allgeier for a lot of reasons. Obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson was somebody that I was in on last year and on a lot of teams, but they didn't see it be able to last the course of the season. He wore down. He couldn't handle the workload. There was a lot of factors there to it, James. And for me, Allgeier is a guy that I don't like running backs on bad football teams, but I think he's going to have a larger volume than the fantasy community as a whole is suggesting. And you can still have guys score fantasy points, even on real crappy teams. So Allgeier might be that guy this year. Let's go along to Carolina and get to your guy.
Robbie Anderson, who was going to quit football if Baker Mayfield showed up. Well, Baker's there. And maybe Robbie Anderson will find out that Baker's not a bad quarterback or good enough. I wonder how much this team, you know, when they're fully healthy, I mean, Anderson's going to be the third option on that offense at the very best and could fall down the board behind Terrace Marshall and others. But one thing we know about Robbie Anderson is he can make a big play at the drop of a hat. And only 2 years ago in 2020, he had 7 quality starts. Last year, it was a disaster in Carolina. I mean, Sam Darnold was terrible. So I'm going to give a little bit of a reprieve there. But by the way, Robbie Anderson, 240 targets over the last 2 years there.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Robbie Anderson for sure at that spot of the draft. We talked about it numerous times this preseason here on the pod and on our Sirius show. Baker Mayfield, I'm putting on the list, James, and I get it. I mean, Baker got, I still, as much as I don't like the guy, I think he's sort of a punk and I've always rooted against him. At the end of the day, he got a raw deal in Cleveland. He played hurt 2 years ago. He was pretty solid with less weapons in that Cleveland offense. In Carolina, they're in a division that's weak. The schedule's favorable. They're going to have to throw the ball. I mean, you could do a lot worse than Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore as just three of your targets here. So I think Mayfield in Superflex leagues, if you wait around on QB2, you can get him for next to nothing. I think he's a guy that if he does play all the full season, as I expect, and that was Sam Darnold dinged up, you don't even have that hanging over his shoulder, at least the first month of the season, probably. Mayfield's a guy that I think could end up pushing to be a top 20 quarterback if he does get the full load and things work out here in Carolina. So you're not paying that price for him on draft day, though.
There's a fine line between swagger and punk. I kind of like Baker. I was upset to see him go to Cleveland. It'll be easier to cheer for him after he's out of there. I actually did cheer for him the night they won that first game in forever. I don't mind Baker. I don't mind him. I don't mind his attitude, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up. We got two more teams. We'll start with the Saints before we wrap it up with the Bucs.
Well, I'm going to go to Adam Trautman here. I'm very interested. We had this conversation very briefly before we got going. What's up with Taysom Hill? I hear essentially nothing going on with him. I guess Adam Trautman, it's his job. He came into the league with a little bit of pedigree coming out of was Dayton, I believe, right?
Yep.
It's year three. We already see that Michael Thomas is again dealing with an injury. Now, look, there were some receivers that materialized for this team last year, and it wasn't Trautman. Maybe with some more solidified roles, Adam Trautman becomes a player to target. I'm going extremely deep. I wouldn't draft him. I just keep my eyes on him.
Yeah, I like Jameis Winston here. And
yeah,
everything I just said about Baker Mayfield, I actually think more even so about Jameis Winston. Here's a guy I do think is going to be in the top 20, as does the Fantastic's Draft Advisor. We've got him projected inside there now, and of about four rounds of value of a pick. The official projection, we're looking at 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 13 picks, and I think those are modest. I think if he's closer to 100% coming off this knee injury, they could be even better. And, oh, yeah, if Michael Thomas does play with Olave and Landry in the mix, the weapons are so good. Let's not forget about Kamara and a great defense around him. I think the Saints are a sleeper, and I think Jameis Winston is one of fantasy quarterback's best sleepers. James?
Not going to argue that. I love Jameis, too.
Let's go Tampa Bay to wrap it up, my friend.
I mean, I think it's something we've been looking for as the new James White for Tom Brady since he went to Tampa Bay, whether it was Gio Bernard or Keyshawn Vaughn. Let's go ahead and take a stab at Rashad White. I'll say this. One thing I do like about him, and I was convinced Keyshawn Vaughn could take that role. That was before they had Leonard Fournette, by the way. Rashad White had 456 yards receiving in 11 games at Arizona State last year. That's kind of what we're looking for here, right? Like, Leonard Fournette has proven that he can be a receiving back as well. I don't think Leonard Fournette's going anywhere, but I think that this is a team that'll probably try to deploy multiple running backs. And at this point, I think Rashad White is that other running back. And if it ends up being Keyshawn Vaughn, well, I was wrong on him one more time.
We'll wrap it up with my deep sleeper for the Bucs, and I'm going to go with Russell Gage. They might have been not qualifying if we had done this podcast 6 weeks ago when he was going in round seven, when everybody thought Godwin was on the PUP list and before Julio Jones was signed and before the Bucs lost two more offensive linemen. But look around. This guy's dropped six rounds. And why? Is Julio Jones really going to cut that much into his role? Maybe a little bit. Are you that concerned about Tom Brady throwing touchdowns? I'm not. Russell Gage is back to being a steal. They signed him for a reason, and I think he is the third best receiver on this offense, even when Godwin's healthy. I think I like him better than Julio. I think he's worth a spot when he falls in that late draft pick there. But, James, this was a lot of fun. Any final thoughts on just deep sleepers in general?
Boy, keep in mind these are deep sleepers. Most of them miss. This is a home run swing when you're down five runs trying to hit a five-run home run. Every once in a while, they're going to come to fruition. If you just hit a couple of these, if you get a 10% hit rate on some of these guys, I think we're in for a good fantasy year.
No doubt about it. Be sure to go over to insiderfootball.com. You can download the free trial of the Fantastic's Draft Advisor. You can also get our entire touchdown packets for free this year with a first-time deposit at Thrive Fantasy. Go to the sign-up page at insiderfootball.com. And if you like what you heard on the podcast here, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, to name a few. And of course, be sure to catch us on Saturday mornings all season long with Fantastic's Insider Football on SiriusXM Fantasy from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. For James Adams, I'm Dan Klaskins. We'll catch you next time right here on the Fantastic's Insider Football Podcast.